when you still have to actually fit into the programme, a visit to Thoresby Country Fair, a visit to the Sci-Fi Weekender in Wales, and news from our countryside correspondent, Minty Steed. Times are so tight, you need to actually move on. So whom do you think we should actually move to now, after we've actually dealt with the medieval expert that was Karen Maitland? Gemma?
I quite fancy a bit of light relief.
A bit of light relief, do you
Dean
think?
Dean Wilkinson.
You've been checking out the Dean Wilkinson website as well. Were you impressed?
I was very impressed, yeah. Quite a body of work.
Quite a body, many people have actually said.
Well, he's never said that to me before.
There we are.
It was the first time for everything, Dean.
Welcome back to the good ship Southside, Dean. It's been far too long since we last connected, and
I gather
it's been outrageous. But still, what sort of things have you been doing in betwixt times that the likes of our final year undergraduate from the University of Teesside, that would be Ashley Atwell, not Hayley, not confused with Ashley Atwell, or indeed Gemma Joy, or indeed our crime writer Jenny Finch might possibly say, oh, yes, no, that's interesting.
I've just taken some old carpet to the tip.
Nice.
That's interesting.
Isn't it? But a few months ago I was in Monaco with John Cleese.
Mm. Yeah.
Which was the highs and lows of comedy writing, I suppose.
Exactly.
I thought, I started writing 25 years ago because of my love of Monty Python. It came full circle when Sony flew me out to Monaco to record a script I'd written for John for a game called Smart Ass. And I was terrified for 3 days because he's a lovely man, don't get me wrong, but he's my hero, so, what do you do? But at one point, I was sat in a hotel lobby with him, and they'd brought some cakes, and they had real gold on them. You know, those really fancy ones. I thought, hey, I'm diabetic, I shouldn't have had one, but I thought, I'm going to have one. And it got stuck in my teeth, and at one point I thought, do you know, it's not going to get much better than this. I'm picking gold out of my teeth in Monaco with John Cleese.
There you go.
I mean, you just can't beat that, can you?
So those were the lows, then. What about the highs that you mentioned, then, Dean?
I've been really busy. I've just been writing for Mickey Mouse for a game for Sega. And my kids think I'm insane because every time I walk past my office door, I'm going, I'll save your mini in the voice as I'm writing his lines.
I can see Walt being channeled there. For a moment, I had a sense that, you know, there was the Disney moment just coming through on that. I was going, wait, how do you motivate yourself? I mean, clearly, you know, Jenny, we've talked about your characters and your autobiographical work from that point of view and putting that into Alex Hastings and the character thereof. We've talked with, obviously, Karen Maitland about her intense research that even when the phone rings, if she's in medieval times, she thinks, voices, I should be burned alive, or various other things. What about yourself, Dean? Is it just a case of, you know, you put on the big bright red nose and the banana feet, or what?
I suppose it's been self-employed. I've been self-employed for 25 years, and you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, basically. But I have a passion for writing. I have to write something every day. I mean, you know, it's Saturday, the kids are off. I'm doing some work on my new board game that's coming out. I have to do something every day, writing, you know, however little. Otherwise, I just can't sleep. I just love it. It's not like work. You know, you're creating new worlds and characters and silly situations, and
What are your thoughts on this, Jenny? Does he need help, or is this the way you work as well in Saltburn? You have to get this writing down.
That's perfectly normal.
Yeah. It's okay.
That's the way it is.
Ashley, is this scary for yourself as a media production student, or you think bring it on?
Well, he sounds like a workaholic, but if he likes it, then...
Sounds like a workaholic, but if he likes it...
It's all right, isn't it?
Yes, yes, and switching off is a problem, actually. I used to just write and write, but, you know, since I became a dad 18 years ago, I just have to sort of stop at about 6 o'clock, otherwise I get a second wind and I just don't see my kids. So,
exactly.
So there is that element of it as well.
It all comes good in the end. What's this footballing stuff you've been getting involved with and sending me various emails about, saying, let's talk about football and things?
The Madcap League.
Yes.
It's a board game. Essentially, it's a brand that I've come up with a business partner. We've got a board game coming out, and it's a football game, but you don't have to like football to play. I mean, I can't stand football, but it's just silly characters just playing a board game. And it's just laugh out loud humour in it, basically. And that that's coming out in a few months, when we've got backers for the app that's been worked on now. There's an app version coming out.
I'll just translate in case you're wondering. That means backers for the application that's going to be used for it.
Right. We've also got... we want to extend it, you see. If you're interested, you can go to the website. It's madcapleague.co.uk.
That's madcapleague.co.uk.
I'll probably have a link on it soon to my website, from my website. But we want to extend it to other sports as well. We're talking to somebody who's got an animation studio. We want to do Madcap Cricket League. He's got an animation studio in India, and cricket's just absolutely massive over there. We're talking to somebody in Los Angeles about the Madcap American Football League. So it's going to be a little mini empire, I hope.
So I'm currently looking at Welcome to the Home Ground of Madcap League. It's football gym, but not as we know it. Madcap League is a multi-platform brand based on comedy and football, beginning with a board game and an app, before expanding into comic strips, trading cards, TV animation and merchandising. This is a world of footy fun, but you don't even have to like football to enjoy it. It's a crazy, sometimes surreal, family humour brand that's more about giggles and guffaws than anything else. Madcap League is...
couldn't have put it better myself.
Well, it's there we are, isn't it?
The comic strip's actually on there, if you want to click on comic strip. That's on there.
I'm a man, I can't multitask to that extent, Dean. I mean, you know, I've had to lift these... Honestly, please, comic strip, etc. We'll look towards that.
Yes.
I mean, because we've got three folk in the studio who, you know, when I show them the Fly Me to the Moon scenario, I expect them to think, ooh, that's very exciting. Middlesbrough Football Club's like, no, football, no, etc. But clearly this could appeal.
Game. Have you ever watched a football match? It's rubbish, it's just some men running about. What's the point? I went to half a match once. I was persuaded to go to one when Borough had the old ground. And I was just bored out of my head. I went halfway through. I said, this is rubbish. It's just, I honestly don't know. People like football should grow up and get into Doctor Who.
So there we are. Superbly placed, as we're actually going to Alan Stevens next. He'll be talking
to
us live.
How's he doing?
Well, he's in the Sci-Fi Weekender in Wales. He's actually on a panel at present, together with Fiona Moore. He's on the Telos Publications panel, and he's in a Welsh holiday camp, which is celebrating 3 days of science fiction fun frolics that we'll be linking up with in a few moments' time, with films provided, of course, by our good friend Louis Savvy from Sci-Fi London. Let's try Sci-Fi. Karen. Jenny. Science fiction? Is that a genre?
Love it. That's right. What I thought I'd start writing.
Oh.
Never expected to write crime.
Crime, yeah. Well, interesting, because Sarah Pinborough has kind of reversed. She's more been liking crime after having done an awful lot of fantasy and science fiction and torture, etc. Gemma?
Science fiction, Star Wars, only 1, 2, and 3, the original ones, are as far as I go. It's
right.
Kind of uncharted territory for me. I'm a little bit scared.
How exciting.
It.
We'll guide you through that, and don't worry, Dean and myself on either side will guide you through
it's
this.
It's not something one should go to alone.
No. Mm. I think we'd agree with respect to that. Hayley?
Ashley,
sorry.
No, I don't know.
We'll wait and see what transpires on that one.
I'm starting to get into dramas as well, because I've kind of seen most of the science fiction.
Downton Abbey?
No. Ripper Street. I love Ripper Street. It's just finished. Did you see any of it?
No.
Absolutely brilliant. It's up there with Sherlock.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Absolutely brilliant. You can get it on the iPlayer, I think.
You see, I look at the other line. Workers at a Swedish airbase have discovered that they've been drinking coffee made from radiator water for the past 2 years. The mistake, which was due to a wrongly connected pipe, was only discovered when the heating system was shut down for maintenance work. As the coffee was black and the radiator water a bit brown, nobody noticed the difference.
Well, that'll keep them warm, won't it?
Exactly, sir. I'll give you a little quote from Madcap League. It's still nil-nil here in this, quite frankly, bizarre match between Normal United and the Madcap All-Stars, whom I can only describe as weird. But what's this? Madcap player Marilyn Moody had control of the ball, but just walked away from it. The sulky goth must have gone in a mood for some reason. I'll save it with that. Go to the actual website if you want more, really.
Yes. You should do the commentary. You're actually very good at it.
Now, Dean, I'm always available for weddings, bar mitzvahs and funerals. You know this. And the Wilkinson Leftchuk short-lived literary quiz was and TV quiz scenario. It's up on the wall there.
Happy days.
It's Happy Days indeed from the children's TV quiz book.
Williams, who was in Happy Days.
Yes.
His real name's Anson Heimlich, and his cousin invented the Heimlich manoeuvre.
Precisely.
That's absolutely made my day, Dean.
No,
another tenuous link like that.
We had there's a book, a brilliant book called I've forgotten what it's called. The Classic Children's Television Quiz Book. Mm. And it's 1,000 questions on classic children's television. Yeah. I say it's brilliant because I wrote it and I spent 6 months researching it. And there's all sorts of fascinating facts in there. I don't mean to be rude, but are you old enough to remember Swap Shop?
No, how very dare you? Yes.
Oh, you do. Remember Posh Paws?
Yes.
Dinosaur?
Yes.
Why was he called Posh Paws?
I don't
think anagram, Gemma. Anagram.
Oh,
Posh Paws. Write it down.
Oh, I've got baby brain, can't work it out.
Oh, dear.
It's an anagram of Swap Shop.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
And many of the children had probably worked that one out before I had.
Well, it's a different world and a different. That's why we're gradually easing you back into the Southside family, Gemma. Yeah.
Get it on ebook. If you go on Amazon, you can get this book. I think it's only about £2 or something, which is great.
Well, that's an excellent stocking filler.
Precisely.
Yeah. And it's only March, but you know you can't be too.
Can never be too quick when you've got those stockings to fill. Gemma, last two questions for Dean, please.
Dean, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Yes, because as I've been talking, I'm watching a man jet wash my drive.
Nice.
And Jehovah's Witnesses threatening to come up the drive.
A kind of fusion of the two.
Yeah, really. It's just bizarre. I'm just looking out now. Yes, basically.
If they don't make any dirty footprints on said drive or step, would you be willing to connect with us again, Dean?
Yeah, go on now, I will.
Cheers.
There we are.
Fantastic.
So, produced by Trevor Horn, with David Van Day, and Therese Bazaar, after they left Guys and Dolls, and became Dollar. That's what it was called. Okie dokie, bit of jockery there, bit of the old sort of 1980s, yes, poptabulous, as we actually link up to the UK's fantastic science fiction festival, the SF Weekender, and we say Alan Stevens, creator of KeldorCity.com, and on the panel of the SFX Weekender Telos Productions today, are you there, Alan?
Yes, I am.
Hey, so describe the scene, what's happening? Have we got a lot of people in costume? Is Titan the robot walking through the scene?
There are a few people in costume. There appears to be somebody wearing sort of, pajamas they wear in it, like in onesies, yeah, people are wearing Batman onesies, and Spider-Man onesies, very unflattering.
Yeah, you see, that, Alan, is why I've nominated you as our designated reporter on the spot, together with Fiona Moore, of course, because I just couldn't cope with people wandering around in Batman and Spider-Man onesies at this time of a Saturday, you know? It's not good, it's not clever, it's quite scary.
I've never seen a onesie before.
Yeah, you don't want to... Are you a onesie person, Jenny?
No.
Gemma?
No, I refuse to buy a onesie for anybody, any of my children.
Okay. Currently studying at the University of Teesside. Ashley? No, not onesies. No. Okay, so where is this and what's the holiday camp like in Wales that you're talking to us from?
It's very prisoner-esque, actually. It's a bit like an army camp, I suppose. What is that?
It's all right. Just a message coming through. I'm sure we'll pick it up in the fullness of time. Just talk to us in terms of the event itself, because I think it's... Gemma, have you ever been to a science fiction convention?
Oh, I've never been, and I would be a little bit scared. Yeah. What sort of thing would one expect if one was to go to one of these occasions for the first time?
Well, they do various panels. You've got Brian Blessed here and Peter Davison and Fraser Hines, and they're going to go up on stage and talk about their experiences in cinema and TV and what else. And people are generally normal. I mean, there's very attractive women walking around here, full stop, and one girl went past dressed in that Harry Potter. What's that Harry Potter character called? Harmony or Harmony?
I
think it's Hermione, indeed. Well,
Hermione, yeah.
Hermione onesie? Is this so?
No, she's wearing a sort of like a school uniform, which is a cool kid for it. Hang on, it's Saturday. So she's always attending as Hermione.
Fine.
I'm actually sitting in front of a table, mum, plugging my CDs, my By Your Command, that's a book on Songs for Europe. which is a new book by a guy called Jordan Roxburgh, who I'm not kicking over to him. There's also another sitting next to me who's written a book called Time Hunter, The Albino's Dancer by Dale Smith. Would you like to speak to Dale Smith? He's written a number of documents.
Go on. Let's go to that.
Okay,
let's put this
I'll pass over to him there.
Okay.
So here's your first guest.
Marvellous. Alan, fantastic stuff. As hopefully the whole thing gets through. Dale Smith, welcome to the Southside Broadcasting Live Weekend Link-Up Show. It's a delight to connect with your good self. Dale, what are you doing sitting there with Alan at the Sci-Fi Weekender at this very moment in time?
At the moment, we're doing a book signing for Talos Books.
Yep.
We've got a stormtrooper in front of us at the minute looking at one of our books.
See, that's what always happens at these various conventions. Suddenly a stormtrooper walks in. Dale, talk to us about what you've produced yourself and why people should, if they're not able to get to the Sci-Fi Weekend, or why should they actually go and get one of your texts online?
Well, I've written a number of books. The main ones people know me for, I've written two Doctor Who books for the BBC, one for the new series with David Tennant. They do various stories about the Doctor that take place outside of the TV series.
Yep.
I've written one of those.
Absolutely.
The event here is going fantastic as well at the minute. There's a number of people here from various science fiction things. We've got people dressed up as Scarlet and there's a canine here.
We have a crime writer in the studio, that's Jenny Finch. Jenny, I know you're a self-confessed science fiction fan, etc. Is this a recognisable thing, the signing of the books as an author yourself?
Yes, it is. I think it's very nice to connect with your public and a chance to actually thank people and meet people and talk to them. I think it's great.
I will personally provide £5 if you can actually get a stormtrooper to come along to your next book signing over Death over the Drowners. I think that would be extraordinary. There's a sort of mashup we can actually look for. But have you got any questions you want to put to Dale Smith at this stage? No.
He's obviously having such a good time.
Writing that kind of the Doctor Who books that are not quite canon, but they are canon and they're kind of part in that other dimension. Where do you feel yourself on that whole argument? Is it part of the Doctor Who celebrations? When you were given the brief to write the book, did you actually say, yeah, we'll put this in, we'll put that in, etc.? Or did you want to do something completely different?
Certainly with the newer books, the process is a lot more involved because of the TV series going on at the minute.
Yep.
The editor of the book does vet everything quite closely in terms of what is coming up in the series in the future.
Yep.
So the last one that I wrote for them, they wouldn't let me do because one of the ideas that I had, they wouldn't let me do because it was going to be on the series in the next series.
So is that Justin Richards then, the chap who looks after the editorship for this moment?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's good. Is he? Are you happy with him? Do we actually give him thumbs up? Are you happy with Justin Richards?
He's been doing a fantastic job for years and years now. He's one of the people who knows Doctor Who better than anybody else. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I'm due to host an event with Terence Dix and Graham Harper in May, which is, again, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the whole thing. Are you a classic Who fan, or are you a kind of contemporary Matt Smith and Gemma Louise Coleman fan?
I got into Doctor Who through Peter Davison when I was a young boy,
right,
and have loved it ever since, yeah. So the new series is absolutely fantastic.
So I have to ask you, Dale, do you actually write with a stick of celery to one side?
I don't, but I do eat celery, so that's
nice. I know you're looking bemused at that question, Gemma, but the fact of the matter is that, as Dale will confirm, celery in the Fifth Doctor era of Peter Davison was a restorative. It helped him kind of energise himself. He had the stick of celery to keep him going, that's the whole thing.
One of his five a day.
One of his five a day, before five a day was actually invented.
Sensible.
Critical. Gemma, any questions you'd like to put to Dale as a Doctor Who writer?
Dale, what ideas are at the fore of your mind at the minute? Is this an inspiring place to be for a writer? Will you come away with ideas?
It is. You get to meet lots of people who are fans of your work, and it really does help you think of what you're going to be doing next. I'm working on a book at the moment for a small press that is based on Doctor Who, but at one step removed. There are quite a few books like that at the minute. And so I'm working on that, which will hopefully come out this year.
And we were just talking to Dean Wilkinson, who's a keen Doctor Who fan and indeed a comedy writer, but he says he has to write. If a day goes by without him actually writing something, he feels bereft. Jenny, you agreed with this. Are you in the same zone, Dale? Is it something where you sort of think, no, I have to write something, or do you just say, no, I'll leave it for 6 months until the next commission comes through?
Well, I've recently had two small children, so I had a period where I was away from that for quite a while looking after them, and I did go ever so slightly mental. Yeah, it's something that I have to do every day.
It's all right, Dale.
It's not been a very good day.
Dale, we're here to support you. Even telephonically, we're here to support you. Hopefully you're getting that zone. And is Alan Stevens behaving himself?
He is, just about. Would you
want
me to put him
back up? I think so. It's great for that point. Dale, we'll come back to you, I'm sure, later, but for the moment, we'll pass back to Alan. Thanks for your time, Dale. We'll speak again very soon, I'm sure. And your good self. There we are. So what you call it, on the hop interview, live with the whole thing. Alan, fantastic. It's great stuff. Have you signed many books in the interim period? I mean, as people have been coming up saying, it's Alan Stevens, please sign my book, or sign my bosom.
Yes, they've been all over me like rats.
Yeah.
Like all Wales rats. Yeah. I've got another chap here who's involved in a film. Now, this is a radio. I'm going to pass you over and you can introduce yourself, yeah?
Okay, this is excellent. Marvellous stuff there. Now, who might this fine person who's involved in a film be? You're live on Southside Broadcasting, and your name, sir, is?
It's Jonathan Rhodes.
Jonathan Rhodes. Fantastic. Jonathan, welcome aboard the show. Share with us, what movie are you doing? What's it involved with? And let's promote it. Let's start the mass promotion starting here.
We're actually doing post-apocalyptic art based around the Manchester scene. There's 12 photos in the range. If you look on the website or look us up on Google, it's James Shannon Art. And we've got ranges from the print works, the Hacienda, which was commissioned by Peter Hook. The BBC actually commissioned the Media City piece with us, which you can see on the website as well.
Right. We haven't got the best of lines here, so could you actually just go through that website again, please? Just what are we actually doing?
It's jameschavertonart.co.uk. On the website, you can see James Chatterton.
And is that Chatterton with a C-H-A-T-T-E-R-T-O-N?
Chatterton. C-H-A-D-D-E-R-T-O-N. Okay. So the mobile phone reception is...
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, I'll pass over to Gemma, who will ask you some deep and meaningful questions about apocalyptic art and various other bits and pieces, whilst I check out James Chatterton on the line. Marvellous. Over to you, Gemma.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Thank you.
So we're going to check you out, Jonathan, and so what sort of thing can we expect to find?
Most people think it's quite dark, but basically it's... A post-apocalyptic view of Manchester and different scenes around Manchester. So we've got places like the Printworks, the Villa that was in the centre, the Urbis, the Beetham Tower, which is the Hilton Hotel, the Media City, the Hacienda building, there's the Mancunian Way. But these are all places that people relate to in Manchester. There's the Palace Theatre, the Town Hall. For instance, the Town Hall piece, people relate to it as, well, I said, they got married and they love the way it's quite a dark and meaningful place. Other people relate to it because they got divorced there, so it works both ways.
So there's something for everyone. Every iconic landmark of Manchester is featured,
yes,
is it?
Yes, there is. We are in the current process of doing other cities. We're doing London, we're doing Shanghai, Paris and Amsterdam.
We're actually looking at these apocalyptic images at present, so I've got to ask, as a Manchester City fan, are you City United or neither?
I'm a Man United fan.
Oh, my word. I'm sorry, we're going to have to cut this interview short. No, it's all right. It's okay. We can appreciate that. I mean, you might win something this season. I don't know. But, I mean, have you, I trust you haven't included the apocalypse of the Etihad Stadium there, have you?
No, we won't do any football stadiums or anything like that because of the... The fan base is quite substantial, so you don't want to upset them.
No, very exactly. Exactly. Likewise with Old Trafford, etc. But if you want to do an apocalyptic version of Anfield, I'm sure that'd be fine. If you want to move over to Liverpool, that's a different line of things.
I don't need to do that, to be fair, though.
Very funny, Jonathan.
Jenny, apocalyptic art and such like. We've had a quick look at the images there. Your thoughts on this?
I think they're great. Tell me, what's the cause of your apocalypse? Is it a zombie or disease or nuclear?
There's different looks. If you look at the town hall image, there's still birds in the town hall. So there's no sort of deterioration of disease and things there because it's so wildlife. If you look at the Hacienda piece, for instance, the structure at the top's been blown away.
Yeah,
and the bridge has had a part blown through it. So there's different parts. There's war, there's devastation. The Urbis piece looks like a big chunk's been ripped out of it with a hole through the centre of it. So So there's different views and different pieces all the way through all of it.
That's great, thank you.
And indeed, part of the Manchester apocalypse. We're just having a look at the Gore Press here. Reviews, interviews, 2012, a eulogy, part of the Manchester apocalypse series by James Chadderton. And the Dinosaur Project, I see there. And you can't have enough dinosaurs or zombies these days, I find. You know, dinosaurs and zombies, whole new world. Listen, how are you finding the Sci-Fi Weekender? I mean, is it what you expected? Have you been to a Weekender before?
Yeah, we've never done a store before or anything, but we've always come to it just as sort of, because it's something we do as our hobby. But it's a different aspect, because we had a good night last night. The people are always great and friendly, and it's been really good. The people are always fantastic, nice people. So, and the thing is here, there's such a wide view of people and the range of what people think. It's perfect place to demonstrate something like this.
Very much so. And if you catch up with Louis Savvy, who I know is the film programmer for that, he's also one of our friends from Sci-Fi London and festival organiser for that, give him our very best. If you pass the thing back to Alan, well, for the moment, James, many thanks. We'll speak again very soon. Welcome and well done on making your debut on Southside Broadcasting. Excellent. It's all going very smooth. Thank you. There we are, James doing his stuff there. Who would have thought we'd move to a zombie, apocalyptic tight scenes in Manchester from Death of the Elven Man onwards, etc. Alan, you've done sterling work there. You're on yourself, of course, on stage in a couple of hours' time. Is that right? 2 o'clock?
That's right, yeah.
So what are you looking for? What are you looking forward to at the event itself?
Flogging more books and CDs, basically.
Nice! And for people who are listening to this, like indeed Ashley Atwell, how can Ashley get hold of a copy of The Wonderful World of CaldorCity.com?
Well, I'll go to CaldorCity.com and send an email to me, info@CaldorCity.com or orders, you can buy CDs and... Telos just wonder selling my Trial Command Battlestar Galactica book and also our book on the quiz as well. We've got another chap here, might be interesting.
Oh my word.
Have you got time to speak to
Yes, Alan? Okay, we can go with this. What, squeeze in one more for yourself, Alan, go for it. We've just got rabbits to go to.
This chap has written a book on the Eurovision Song Contest. I'll just pass you over to him. His name's Gordon Roxburgh.
A genuine delight. Hello, sir, and your name once again is?
Gordon Roxburgh.
Gordon Roxburgh. Okay, Eurovision. Let's do a quick straw poll in the studio. Ashley, we'll come to you first. Are you a Eurovision fan?
No, not really.
That's a no from your third year. Gemma, Eurovision?
I love Eurovision. Can never stay up to watch the whole thing. It's on too late, but I love it.
Okay, and Jenny, Eurovision?
I think it's hilarious.
Hilarious. So, and I've kind of grown into it over the years, etc. So why have you decided to do this book on the Eurovision Song Contest? What does it contain?
It contains the first volume, which is, as I know, is all of the 1950s and 60s, you know, the early days of the contest. And I've had another book come out late in the year, but the 70s, which is when a lot of people grew up with it.
A couple of things that come out of the 60s from one of our regular presenters, Michelle Munro. I gather her father, Matt Munro, actually once took part in a Eurovision Song Contest for Britain. I think he finished second or third, I believe. But I just thought
he finished second.
Second, yeah. Here we are. You see,
I love the little thing.
You see, that's proof that you have done authentic research on this one, Gordon, and we appreciate that, which is great. Any questions you'd like to put to our Eurovision Song Contest expert here, Jenny?
How do you see the contest developing? It's just getting bigger and bigger. It's going to end up as a kind of world contest.
They have leagues as well now. You have to be in the top
league
as
well.
Relegated. Yeah.
How do you feel about this as a kind of Eurovision purist?
Well, you say it's getting bigger. Actually, this year coming up, a few countries have dropped out.
No.
Like Turkey and Portugal, because of the sheer cost of it, and especially the current financial climate. They're trying to bring it to a smaller scale, a smaller venue, less rehearsal time, etc.
Will we ever hear those words, Wyoming 12 points, or will it be 0 points? What do you think?
I'd like to think we're going to hear those words again sometime. Hopefully next week or so we'll find out who's going to be representing the United Kingdom this year. And obviously still to hear the song, but fingers crossed. A good song can win it on the night.
Do you actually have Eurovision Song Contest parties? Is it something that you sort of think, yeah, this is where we're going, this is the whole thing for us, really?
I'm at this event this weekend, and there are loads of people come up saying, oh, we go to a Eurovision party. I will actually be in Sweden for it. I'm going to be at the Eurovision working for the official website, so I'll be interviewing the artists, etc. this year. But parties seem to be very popular, and different themes.
I think we should actually, at this moment in time, apart from seeing how Eurovision has just become science fiction, now there's something we weren't expecting, but you know, at the SF Weekend, this is manifested, it's opened up the whole thing. I think if you'd be kind enough to join us again in the next couple of weeks, if you pass on details to Alan Stevens, our designated reporter there, we'll hopefully speak again and do some more about Eurovision on a better phone line, if that's okay, because it does sound as though we're in Eurovision 1958, really, but you know, it's good. It's excellent stuff.
Sure.
And a reminder, how can people access your website and web details again? It is?
The website is by the publishers, Tellus Publishing, which is www.tellus.co.uk.
Okay.
Find details for the book there. And various other websites, other online retailers with details for the book.
Brilliant. And the title of the book again is?
The title is Songs for Europe, United Kingdom at the Eurovision Song Contest. Say Volume 1 is out at the moment, covering the 1950s and 60s, and later this year we'll have Volume 2 covering the 1970s. So eventually I will work my way up to the 21st century.
Hey, bada bing, bada boom, bada boom, 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 bada bam, ba bam, ba bam, ba bam, ba bam. Gordon, fantastic. If you don't pass it back to Alan now, we'll speak again very soon.
Yeah, sure.
See you on. Cheers,
I'll
now.
I'll try and find them for you. Okay, take care. Cheers.
Brilliant. There we are. There's a sort of snapshots of various other routines there. I think we'll ask those last two questions to Alan, and you can ask them collectively.
Hello.
Yes, Gemma's going to ask you those last two questions now, Alan. Off you go, Gemma.
Alan, have you and your crew there had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Yes, I have, thank you.
Good, and can we...
Well, I didn't really speak to you, did I?
No, well, you didn't,
really.
Wasn't
really talking to you.
No, but it was all very interesting.
I was chasing... but he disappeared in the toilet, and I thought I couldn't really go in there and say, excuse me, would you like talking to Alex Luchek, please?
So you were chasing who went to the toilet?
Fraser Hines.
Please, you know, I know we'll hold Fraser for another moment in time and not in the loo, you know.
Yeah, okay. You got to go now, have you?
We've got to head off to Thoresby Country Fair for the sort of final sequence. So, final question for yourself, Gemma.
Thanks, Alan. But can we connect you with you again another time, Alan?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Fantastic.
Yes.